The views expressed on this podcast are only those of the individuals featured on the show and do not in any way reflect the official policy of the United States government.
You are listening to the Embassy Wealth Podcast. We believe wealth isn't just about finances and money. It includes health, relationships, and anything else that makes you excited to get up in the morning. We interview members of the foreign affairs community to see how they're building wealth, both personally and financially, no matter where they're posted. This is your host, Tanya Salsa. Let's get to today's show. Welcome to the Embassy Wealth Podcast. And today I am delighted to welcome Abe Grungold to our show. And Abe has a great story. He was a federal employee for, get this, 36 years. He hung in there 36 years and a number of different agencies. He was at Department of Justice, Veterans Affairs, Department of Labor, and finally finished out his 36 years with 17 years at the U.S. Postal Service. And when he retired, he had a fantastic balance in his TSP and a lot of advice for other retirees. And so today, I'm very pleased to welcome to the show, Abe Grungold.
Tanya, thank you for having me on your show. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's a pleasure for us to interview you. And one of the reasons I asked you on the show is because you're a frequent contributor to Federal News Network, and you write a lot about the Thrift Savings Plan, which a lot of our listeners are interested in. And one of the articles that caught my attention was you have kind of this seven-step plan, right, when like people retire. So can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Excellent. I'm actually coming out with a new article, the 10-step factor.
Oh, it got bigger. is it because it's more complicated now?
It's being edited as we speak. Basically, federal employees have many, many decisions regarding their retirement. It's complicated.
It is.
They have many parts to their retirement. They have a FERS annuity, which is a monthly benefit that they receive. They have a thrift savings plan, which is the government's 401k. They have life insurance. They have long-term care insurance. And they have health insurance as well. So they have many, many decisions to think about before they submit their retirement application. Their retirement application is 14 pages long.
That sounds very long.
And you need to consider your spouse. You need to consider if you've had a spouse before, meaning a divorce. There are many parts to it. And making the wrong decision can play a role on a federal employee where they can lose hundreds or even thousands of dollars per year by not making the clear decision on what's best for them. So I have helped many federal employees, and it's something that, you know, for the most part, they may have a general understanding of it, but they need a little assistance. They need a little validation. And there are many federal employees who are just so busy. They're busy. Mm-hmm. They don't have time to read all the materials that their agency gives them.
And there's a lot. There's a lot.
There's a lot. There's plenty. And the agencies give them literature on every topic, but they don't have the time to read it. So they hire someone such as myself to, you know, save them time to review all of that.
And Abe, you actually have a financial coaching business, correct?
Yes. I recently retired from the federal government this past February, but I started my coaching business about 4 or 5 years ago because I wanted to keep busy in retirement, and I didn't want to start figuring out what to do with my retirement the day after I retired. So
that's probably a little late, yeah.
Yeah, I developed a relationship with the late Mike Causey from Federal News Radio, and I have written about 30 or 40 articles on the topic of FERS retirement, TSP, and federal work environment, such as furloughs and other issues that affect federal employees. So over the years, probably since 2014, I was writing these articles, and it gave me the idea of starting my own business. You know, my entire federal career, I always helped my coworkers. Mm-hmm. You know, A lot of people don't want to read the literature. They would just get up from their cubicle, come over to me and say, did you read the literature on TSP? Yes. And then they would ask me a question. So I always helped my coworkers. So I felt that this was an opportunity to start my own business. And it's really become very
successful, it sounds like. So let's say we have a federal employee who's thinking about retirement. Maybe they're, you know, 3-4 years out, right? Or maybe even a little bit closer. And they're starting to get anxious about filling out that 14-page application, right? What's your process for coaching somebody like that? Do you look and say, you know, what are your circumstances? You know, what do you want? How do you want to, you know, move things around? Like, what's kind of your process when you get a new client? And what kind of things should people take into consideration a couple years before retirement?
I don't know if I have enough time to answer that question.
you got to read the 7-step article or now the 10-step article, right? Which those are nice and succinct. I think they're kind of like the off-ramp to a lot of bigger discussions. But yes, so
I would try to answer that one. Basically, a federal employee needs to have a general idea of how much retirement income they are going to need. When they retire, because you need to understand there are certain parts that will total your retirement income. You have your FERS annuity, you have your thrift savings plan, and you have your Social Security. So will those three parts total enough to provide you with a monthly income that is going to sustain you in retirement? And maybe it's not the year that you're particularly interested in retiring. Maybe it's the year after or 2 years later or 3 years later. So I show my clients what is the difference from 1 year to the next.
Interesting.
What their retirement income is.
So does it vary all that much between 1 year? Does it?
It does. It really
does. And why is that?
So basically, the key to a successful retirement is years of service. The longer you're working, the more...
The better it gets.
You are getting towards your FERS annuity. The other thing is, each year that you're working, you're contributing to your 401k plan.
Sure.
Okay? And each year that you're working, you're delaying your Social Security benefit, okay? So each part of the three things that I mentioned increase in value, okay? So you might say, well, you know, maybe I'm interested in retiring at 55. And I do my calculations and I show you that 60 or 62 is the ideal.
There's an optimal number, basically.
Based on how much expenses you have each month. I go over all my clients' expenses and what they're thinking of doing in retiring. Maybe they want to travel. Maybe they want to purchase a retirement home or a boat. Where does that all fit into their budget? And can they afford to do that? So, yes, it's a 14-page application, but employees really have to understand, can they afford to retire before they start filling out that application?
Okay. So they come to you, so you sit down and you look at all of those three buckets, right? The annuity, the TSP, and Social Security. You come up with a game plan, right? So they figure out, okay, here's what I think I'm going to need, and here's how those three buckets cover that amount, right? Do you find that when you're working with people that usually those three buckets align with the income? And if they don't, is that just a matter of staying in the service longer, or are there other things that people can do?
Well, you know, everyone has the idea of retiring, but they tend not to be realistic with one very important factor in their lives, and that is, how much debt do they have?
Interesting.
And if you have a considerable amount of debt, and it doesn't matter where that debt is, it can be
mortgages, credit card debt.
first mortgage. It could be the mortgage on a vacation home. They tend not to realize that that debt is not going to disappear in retirement.
Sure.
So you need to try to get a handle on that debt prior to retiring. If you can retire debt-free, and it doesn't matter if you're a TSP millionaire, you will have a good retirement because you have zero debt, zero debt. And debt is a very big factor in our society today. We tend to spend because we're not using cash, and the feeling of spending, there is no feeling. You go out and you buy something.
Here's my card.
Right.
Wee!
And before you know it, you've accumulated debt. And people, you know, they say, you know, I want to buy a motorcycle. I want to buy a boat.
Love it. And why not? Right. It's retirement. It should look like whatever you want, right?
Why not? I don't tell my clients not to buy them. I tell them, can you afford to own
that's
them?
The big question.
That's the key. And, you know, and the big part of the debt is there are squabbles between the spouses. Like there's some debt, but that debt could be eliminated immediately if, you know, you sell that vacation home.
Right.
Okay? Or you sell that other property, or you sell that boat and eliminate that debt. So I have seen some of my clients squabble with their spouses about this, but I tried to mediate that, to find a solution, to make a plan. And I think that's a very big factor before a federal employee can retire.
And do you feel the same way about things like mortgage debt? So let's say if that's the house that they're going to be retiring in, I mean, you would recommend paying off that mortgage?
Yes. I mean, you need to have a plan. And a lot of people, they tend to remodel their homes before retirement. So they take out an equity line of credit, or they want to sell their primary home and buy a retirement home. I'm doing the same thing. I'm building a retirement home. But I have planned for all of that, okay? And I plan on not having any debt at all.
Nice.
All of that is accomplished. So, yes, this is a very you know, significant issue, that debt needs to be planned for. And if you can pay off your debt before retirement, you are golden. You're just golden. You're in a perfect scenario. If you can't, fine, then continue paying off your debt. Do not use your thrift savings plan to do that, to pay off your debt.
And why not, actually? Why wouldn't you want to do it that way?
Because you're getting a lot of tax benefit from your mortgage payments. And for a lot of people, the interest rate is very low.
It is.
Yeah. So if you can continue investing and you're reaping larger rates of return from your retirement and you're building up a larger nest egg, that is to your advantage rather than paying off your mortgage.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, if you're getting a much higher returns in your TSP, why on earth would you, you know, take that money out to pay down mortgage debt that maybe it's at 3.5%, let's just say, if you've bought in the last couple of years prior to interest rates recently going up. I mean, that makes complete sense.
Now, if I could just make another short statement about that.
Sure.
I have clients who are TSP multimillionaires, and they have debt in retirement, and they say, you know, Abe, you know, why shouldn't I pay off my mortgage? I'm a TSP multimillionaire. In those situations, I give them the green light. Yes. You can, because you've acquired a very large amount in your thrift savings plan, and do it. You know, if you want to take a chunk of money and pay off your mortgage and live debt free, you're going to free up more cash flow from your annuity, Social Security, and also from your TSP. So, yeah, in those cases, I do recommend employees paying off their debt.
And to ask a question about the TSP multimillionaires that you're seeing, did they do anything different from other federal employees? Is it just they have more years of service? Is there some, you know, secret sauce or magic formula why they have so much in their TSP versus somebody else? Did they invest differently? What's the difference?
That's a very good question. TSP multimillionaires are created from different scenarios. Certainly the key is to contribute the maximum, to contribute for many years and to invest aggressively. But you do have some employees who come in from the private sector and they have the opportunity to bring the 401k plan with them,
their
employer, into the government.
Sure.
There is a form to do that. And for those that do that, it's to their advantage. And the reason that they do it is, number one, they have full control of their retirement funds. And number two, the TSP has the lowest expenses of any retirement plan in the country. So you are reducing your expenses, you're in full control, and the TSP has a 35-year history of being successful. So it's just a combination of a lot of good things that create these multimillionaires. I have had a few clients that are TSP multimillionaires, and usually it's after a long career. They were high-paid employees.
Also helps.
And they kept at it as far as maximizing their contributions and investing aggressively.
Excellent. Yeah. So for those of us who are not yet, I shall say, TSP multimillionaires, it sounds like the advice would be to definitely take advantage of the maximum that you can put in there and obviously get paid as much as you can, right? And stay as long as you can. At what point do you recommend that clients who are considering retirement, you had mentioned, for example, the idea of the example of somebody who's 55, they want to retire at 55 and you're like, well, it's 60, 62. Do you find that there's like a certain amount of years that you need to stay in? Or, you know, what's kind of the ideal optimal amount of time to be a federal employee before you can think about retiring?
That's an excellent question. Excellent question. The ideal time for a federal employee is based on several factors. One is they need to reach their minimum retirement age. Minimum retirement age is based on the year that you were born. So for a lot of federal employees, it's age 57. Because when you don't reach your minimum retirement age, you lose the opportunity for different types of benefits. Okay. You lose them. Okay. You can still have a FERS annuity. You may have to defer it to a year that you can become eligible. But let's just say you're a federal employee and you're 57. Mm-hmm. The magic age is 57. And this doesn't apply to every federal employee. Most at age 57. And you have 30 years of federal service. So you started at the age of 27, like I did. Okay. I started at 27. At 57, bingo. That's the age that you can start thinking about your retirement. Because with 30 years of service at age 57, you get a lot of perks, such as a Social Security supplement. You get a waiver from the Internal Revenue Service on withdrawing your TSP without a penalty. So those are the magic age and years of service. So that is really the ideal age to start thinking about retiring. Certainly at age 62, you get another incentive from the government, and it's a 10% increase to your FERS annuity.
Nice.
The government gives you a big carrot to say, if you stay with the government another 5 years to 35 years of federal service at age 62, because you were thinking about leaving at 57, we're going to give you a 10% increase to your FERS annuity. 10% increase to your annuity can be substantial.
It's a pretty big difference, yeah.
Yes, it is. And a lot of employees rethink that. They rethink to say, you know, I don't have it that bad at work. I like my boss. I like the work that I'm doing. And if I stay another 5 years, I'm going to get more money to my TSP. Maybe I can become a TSP multimillionaire. And, you know, I will get an increase to my FERS annuity. Then I'm eligible to be start to receiving Social Security at age 62. So maybe I won't work a second job. A lot of federal employees work a second job when they retire early, such as at age 57. But when they get up to 62, they're thinking, I don't think I'm going to work that second job. I'm going to start taking Social Security, take my FERS annuity, start withdrawing my through savings plan, and spending a lot of time on my new boat.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Well, honestly, after 35 years, I mean, I don't know who wants to do a second job personally, but I mean, really, right? I mean, what are you going to do? So, I mean, I think people would probably have to take that if they had to, right? But I mean, 35 years with the federal government, you have earned a nice retirement at that point, I would think.
Well, let me follow up on that. Let me follow up on that. You raised a very good point. You're 62 years old. You're 35 years of federal service. Do you want to work a second job? Well, a lot of people get bored.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. If you do it for fun, that's something different than if you have to, right?
Right. They get bored. And I actually have a lot of clients who are in their 70s and are still working full-time for the government. They like being in an important position. In being employed, you feel important. You get respect from your fellow employees. You get respect from other people.
And keeps your brain active. Lots of good things. Sure.
They need a place to go in the morning. They may not be golfers. They may not be people who sail. So they need some fulfillment in their life. And going to work for them gives them that satisfaction. If that's something they want to do, then that's fine. Mm-hmm. You look at Dr. Fauci, he's retiring from the government. He was 80 years old. He enjoyed what he was doing for 50 years.
That's a long time.
You know, I mean,
I can't even imagine. It's true. When you enjoy it, the time goes by, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, you say, wow, 62 is enough. I retired at the age of 64. For me, it was enough because I had a lot of years and unfortunately I developed some health issues. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was sort of a wake up call that, you know, maybe it's time. It's time for me to retire. If I didn't have the health issues, maybe I would have continued working for another year or two. I don't know. But for me, it was a decision to go.
And a follow-on question to that, Abe. I have heard that once you retire and you're taking Social Security, you have to be careful not to make too much money because it might impact what you're getting. Is that true?
Yes. From the time you're 62 to age, well, there are federal employees. Let's say we go back to the federal employee who's 57, who mm-hmm. retires. He gets that Social Security supplement. He can lose that Social Security supplement if he's earning too much money. Yes. You can earn $19,600 approximately and not lose $1 Social Security supplement. So once you go over that, it's $2. For every $2 you earn, you lose $1. So if you earn $60,000 a year, you potentially could lose your entire Social Security supplement. Now, for the person who's 62, leaves federal service, wants to start taking Social Security, yes, you can. It's the same type of scenario until the age of 67. at 67, you have reached your full retirement age, okay? You can earn $1 million a year at age 67. You won't lose $1 of your Social Security.
Hmm. Interesting. And yeah. Are you seeing people staying longer in the workforce to take advantage of some of those benefits? I know, for example, when my parents retired, they were thinking about, you know, delaying retirement to get up to, I think it was like 70 or something like that for better Social Security distributions, because they were, you know, they still liked what they were doing. So do you find that people are taking that option and pushing work out to their 70s?
Yes. I have seen federal employees who are working in their 70s full time, and they're collecting Social Security at age 70.
Wild.
They can do that.
Uh-huh.
No problem. Now, I see a lot of retirees who are postponing to take their Social Security until age 67 or age 70. They want to get, you know, the full retirement amount, which is at age 67, but the maximum that you can receive in Social Security is at age 70. So I have some clients that say, yeah, I'm going to wait until 70. That's fine. If that is what you want to do, that's fine.
Is there really that big of a boost if you wait till 70 for Social Security? I mean, my parents seem to think so, but I mean, I was obviously a little, a while back and I wasn't in all the numbers, but I mean, like what kind of percentage are we talking if you wait till 70 versus retiring earlier for Social Security?
I can throw some numbers at you. I don't want to take out my calculator, but
a ballpark, you know,
a ballpark number at age 62, you can receive somewhere around $25,000. For Social Security. That number can go up to 32,000, 34,000 at age 67.
Okay.
And then at age 70, you could be earning in the 40s, $41,000 to $44,000 in Social Security if you elect to take it at age 70. So
it's pretty significant.
Significant increase.
Yeah, that's a big boost. And yeah. I mean, you know, a lot of our listeners are in the Foreign Service and, you know, they can't work till 70 in the Foreign Service because it's just not, you know, Foreign Service Act says they have to retire earlier than that. So it's not really possible. But for those people who leave the Foreign Service but still want to work civil service or for another agency, I mean, this could be something to consider, right? I mean, obviously check with your financial planner or, in Abe's case, financial coach, because, you know, the Foreign Service is a little bit different from a lot of the other federal agencies because of the Foreign Service Act and the age requirements there. But yes. I think that's where you rely on experts and people who have studied this and can figure out these things for you. Because like Abe mentioned earlier in the show, you know, a lot of the decisions that you make set you up for significant amounts of dollars. Those decisions, you know, they have a big impact on what you can earn into your retirement years.
Yeah. The employees in the Foreign Service, they get a special formula for their retirement. And I think they can go until, I don't know if it's 60 or 65.
Yeah, I can't remember either. It's something like that, yeah. But it's not 70. That I know for
it's
sure.
It's not 70. But a lot of them just come back to the States or they stay where they are. And they could do, you know, another position. If you come back to the States, you can get another federal job as a retired annuitant. You retire from the federal government with your FERS annuity, or it's called your FRS annuity, and you can work for the federal government as a retired annuitant, which is basically you're getting the salary of a federal employee, but you're also receiving your federal retirement.
We call sounds it like double dipping. Sounds kind of nice.
You put the words right out of my mouth. I was just saying them. Double dipping. That's what we call it. You're double dipping. And it's fine to do that. So what you're doing is you're delaying taking your Social Security probably until you're 70, if you want to do that, or take it whenever you want. But yeah, some people don't want to retire at 62 or 63. They want to keep working. They want to stay busy. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. And that's yes, a lot of them do that. I had a client who was a federal employee, and he wanted to retire at 57 as soon as he reached his minimum retirement age with 30 years of service.
Young.
He wants to be a math teacher in a middle school.
That's awesome. Why not?
And I said, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. I reminded him that his salary would cause him to lose his Social Security supplement.
That's the key there.
But he didn't seem to care. It was something that he had, you know, passionately wanted to do. And, you know, hey, wonderful. So
a question about that. So in the case of this math teacher, right? So he retires from the federal government at 57. He goes and he makes more money than the 19,000 or whatever you said per year, that kind of cutoff. If he just stops being a math teacher, does that resume then? Is it just based on if you're working and you're making a ton of money, they're like, oh, making too much money. Sorry, going to cut you off here. And then once you aren't making that money, they just turn the spigot back on. Is that how it works?
Yes. So I did explain to him, just as you said. Uh-huh. I said, look, if you don't like being a math teacher, maybe the kids are going to be too tough on you. And you say the following year that, you know, I'm not going to be a math teacher anymore, then you would resume getting your Social Security supplement the following year. Yes.
I think it might be interesting to kind of not game the system, but game the system in a way where you're still making under that 19,000 or whatever, and you're doing maybe part-time work, right? And so you're still working and you're kind of skating right under that, you know, amount. So, you know, you're getting that, plus you have some free time to be on your boat or, you know, ride your motorcycle or whatever it is.
Yes. You know, I explained to my clients that they could work 2 days a week.
Yeah.
And you could be doing, you know, I had a friend of mine, he was a top manager in the government, and he took a part-time job working at Home Depot in the gardening department because he liked gardening.
Yeah, makes sense.
And you could do that a couple days a week, keep busy, do what you enjoy doing, and you're not losing your Social Security supplement. Yeah, absolutely, you know. Find your passion, whether, you know, it's working at Home Depot in the gardening department or working in a library or whatever. You know, there's an FBI agent that I heard about. He retired from the FBI and he became a school bus driver.
We need them. There's a shortage, so not a bad thing to do.
He wanted to make sure those kids would be well protected on the school bus. And he was sort of, you know, it's sort of giving back to the community.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful thing that he's doing.
That's awesome. And love to have an FBI agent watching my kids on the school bus.
Absolutely. So, you know, you should do whatever you feel comfortable with and just enjoy yourself. And if you can make a few dollars and stay under the 19,600 limitation, you don't lose any of your Social Security supplement.
Mm-hmm. No, that's fantastic. So Abe, I have a question for you. You mentioned you're a financial coach, right? How does that differ from a financial planner, let's say?
Good question. So a financial planner focuses a lot on tax planning. And also, you know, they're trying to look at what are the things that you're going to need in your life. Life insurance, how much retirement income that you need, okay? And will your money last until you are 85 or 90 years old? People say, I want my money to last until I'm 90 or 100. So certified financial planners get involved with the taxes, life insurance, and trying to find a plan for you that your money is going to last your entire life. Mm-hmm. A financial coach is more of handling all the decisions that you need to make. You know, how do I plan for my kids' college education? How do I pay off my debt? What should I do as far as certain decisions that I have to make on my 14-page retirement application? Okay. And I give people suggestions and options. if you pick door number one, this is what happens. Door number two, door number three. They ultimately pick the door that they're going to walk through, but I show them what are the results of what your decision is going to be. So I coach them, I make suggestions, and I guide them before they decide to retire, during the process, and even afterwards. I have clients who come back to me several times for different reasons. They may first start with me with the TSP. Then they want to work on their retirement application. Then they come back to me later about investments. You know, where should I be putting my money? So I give them options. They can come back to me for many different reasons. So this is, you know, something that you know, federal retirees need assistance with. Again, I have many clients who are very bright. I have some who work for the Internal Revenue Service. They're very bright people. They know the numbers. They understand the numbers. They don't have time to review all the materials. So
it's overwhelming too, because like you get a lot and then you start to get confused because you're like, well, wait, I have to do this at this age, but then I have to do this other thing. And what's the order, and should I submit this or do I do that? It does get confusing, right? Because there is a lot out there. There's a lot.
There is. And I don't know every answer, but what I do tell my client is if you ask me a question and I don't know the answer, I will research it for you and get you the answer. It's part of the service that I provide them. Okay. So yes, I don't know everything, but I will find out the answer. And a lot of federal employees, they just don't have the time. Many agencies provide a 3-day retirement seminar for their employees. I had a client that said, I don't have time to sit through a 3-day retirement
seminar. But this stuff is important. You got to take the time.
You have to take the time.
You got to take a little time. I mean, you know, not like days and days and weeks, but I mean, this is a big deal. I mean, you got to take some time to do some planning. You can't, I mean, I can't imagine you can farm it all off, right? But go ahead. Sorry to interrupt your story, Abe.
No, it's okay. You know, what this individual explained to me is, I don't have time, so I'm hiring you to tell me everything that I need to know. And she will make the final decision.
Sure.
So she feels that by hiring me, she's saving 3 days. It's sort of an opportunity cost for her.
Makes sense.
Yeah. But, you know, that's their decision. But I encourage every federal employee to read the literature that their agency gives them, to take advantage of the retirement seminar if their agency offers one. Mm-hmm. Many agencies do not.
Interesting. Huh.
So they need to just spend a little time during your lunch hour every day. Take 30 minutes, 20 minutes, and read something about the TSP. The next day, you read something about FERS annuity. The next day, you read something about health insurance. And the following day, about long-term care. And maybe after several months of just spending 20 minutes here and there, you may feel comfortable that you do understand more than when you started. And you could still look to hire someone like me to, you know, answer maybe some of the questions that are not contained in the materials that you're reading, and to validate some of your decisions. You know, it's like getting a second opinion.
Makes sense.
You know, you go to a doctor and he says you need a surgery. And you're like, I don't know. Maybe I'll get a second opinion. So you get a second opinion. And really, a lot of federal employees come to me for that second opinion on, gee, I'm thinking of doing this. What do you think? How did you approach it? And what are my options? And that's a lot of what being a financial coach is. Many, many financial planners don't have any knowledge about the federal retirement system. So when you say, you know, what do I do with my TSP? They're usually going to say, well, maybe you should move it to another company.
Like, yep. Yep. Yeah. And then lose out on all those very, very low cost fees to manage it. Yeah. Because a lot of financial planners that are not fiduciary, you know, where they're fee based and they take a percentage of your, you know, net worth, if you will, they will try to sell you products that obviously they make some commissions on. So that makes sense. It is, I think your point, Abe, is really a good one, which is, you know, if you hire a professional, whether it's a coach, whether it's a, you know, certified financial planner, get somebody who is familiar with the system that you are working under. So in, you know, if you're under FERS or, you know, if you're in the Foreign Service, you know, luckily the Department of State does provide the mid-career retirement class and also the retiring class, which I took both. And I was in 12, 13 years, so I didn't quite make it to the 20, but, but those classes are really, really excellent. And, you know, it's a paid work day. So why wouldn't you go to the training? So I think for those of you who think, oh, retirement is this long, you know, far off thing, it sneaks up on you faster than you would think, right, Abe?
Right.
And it's a good thing to plan, because that's the theme that I've heard throughout what you've been saying, Abe, is that in order for you to have a fabulous retirement, planning is necessary.
I wrote an article about this. You need to start planning your federal retirement the first day that you're employed.
Interesting. Nice. I like that. Yeah. I like that advice.
Yeah. It's, you know, the thing that, you know, just to follow up what you said before, I don't sell any products at all. And I tell my clients that right off. And they like that I have 36 years of federal service. I've been successful.
You've been in the trenches. Yes, you have.
It.
In multiple agencies.
Multiple agencies. I've seen it all. I had a wonderful federal career, full of accolades. But my federal retirement is my greatest accomplishment in my federal career. And I have been successful in that I have a connection to my clients because they say, I'm a federal employee. You understand me. And I am not selling them any products. So they don't feel any type of a
pressure.
A sales pitch.
Yep. Pressure. Yep. I think that's really important because you really want someone who's going to be looking out for you, who's going to direct you in ways that are going to be beneficial to you. And sometimes that runs contrary to if you're trying to sell somebody something that, you know, benefits the salesperson on the other side. So says the host who's also a salesperson, but I'm a real estate agent, Abe. So a whole other conversation, but
I'm selling myself.
Right.
I sell myself. I'm selling my experience. And if I didn't charge a fee to my clients, can you imagine how many emails and phone calls I would be receiving?
Completely.
Mm-hmm. So I am selling myself, and I only charge a flat fee to my clients.
Mm-hmm. And for those of you that want to check out Abe's work, he writes a lot on Federal News Network, and he has a lot of great articles there. And Abe, I just wanted to thank you for being on our show and sharing your 36 years of federal expertise and knowledge with us. Where can people find out more about you?
Well, I have my own website, and it's www.grungold.com, GRUNGOLD. You can also find me on LinkedIn, and I have a Facebook page called FERS Federal Employees.
Nice.
And you can simply Google Abraham TSP Expert, and I come up like number one. On
excellent. Look at you. Excellent.
So, I'm not hard to find.
Well, Abe, we have really appreciated your time today. Thank you so much for talking to us about all kinds of fun things. And it sounds like you are also having a fabulous retired life. And we look forward to maybe having you back on the show for some more great retirement nuggets. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me on. And it would be a pleasure to reappear on your show. Thank you.
If you like this episode and want more, make sure to give us 5 stars on the podcast player of your choice. And after that, check out our Facebook page. From there, you can learn about our other episodes, connect with our guests, and of course, share your own ideas for success. We'll see you next time.